And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Andy. We got a big show for you today. Casey Smith from the Unnecessary Roughness podcast joins. She threw me to the wolves, basically. They nice enough to put me in the college football personalities bracket, but matched me up against Chris Fowler in the first round, and I got destroyed. So she's going to explain how I wound up with one of the toughest matchups in the first round. We're also going to talk some house hunting. Ari's on the show. Lincoln Riley's new spread out in California hit the news on Thursday, and we take a little tour through the Zillow ad. And Casey and Ari mix it up talking about Texas A&M, how mad Casey's alma mater got at Ari for saying that the Aggies shouldn't be in the playoff in 2020, how happy Casey's alma mater was with Ari when he was talking about how great the recruiting class is. And then also, get back into the Lincoln Riley thing, because obviously Casey is a person who grew up around Texas A&M, very familiar with the Oklahoma fan base, very familiar with the Texas fan base, the groups going to the SEC, and that Oklahoma fan base, listen, they got dumped. And anytime we bring up Lincoln Riley, we know what's going to happen. We and Ari talking about how great Lincoln Riley's house is. He's just going to get hammered by the Oklahoma fans. Well, we explain how Oklahoma fans can truly get over the Lincoln Riley breakup. It's all on today's show. Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. It's a house hunting edition today. We got a special guest with us, Casey Smith. Casey, I met you. You were working for TexAgs, right? Covering your alma mater, Texas A&M.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was when Johnny was still on the team. So that was, I mean, what, 10 years ago now? That's insane.
Let's not talk about that.
Let's not age ourselves. But yes, you met me at TexAgs, and obviously we crossed over a little bit when I was at ESPN, and here we are now.
So we wanted to have you on, Casey, because you guys on Unnecessary Roughness put me in the Casey Smith bracket of your college football voices, and you matched me against Chris Fowler in the first round, and I got destroyed.
I had nothing to do with the seeding. So the podcast that we dropped last night, I seeded the biggest villains of college football, not criminals, villains, but I seeded that one. Last week, Brandon and Jack Max seeded it. Every week somebody's not going to know the seeding. So then that way it's kind of like an element of surprise. So I will tell you, I'm going to put every single ounce of blame on Brandon Walker. And I do not care at all. Like he's the one to blame. And if you listen to the podcast, when we talked about that, I was like, I've got to go with Andy. And they were like, I mean, I know he's your friend, yes, but like,
but it's Chris Fowler. We talk about, like, on this show, we do head coach Royal Rumble. Like, we just had Luke Fickell on, and he's like, I'm just going to tag team with Rabel and we're going to destroy everybody. If we do single combat, like, Fowler's the one guy who just would mess me up. Like, he is low key jacked.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I will tell you that I would not have seated you against him. Like I said, I seated the one for yesterday that came out today. And I was very strategic with where I put certain people. Like, I made sure, like, Johnny Manziel ended up against Baker Mayfield, like those type of things. So this is the beef that, I mean, you got to take this up with Brandon. Like, he's the one but I will say, I think Ari is right, because they left a lot of people off the list that I probably would have added on to it, because we only did two regions. We only did 32 people. And if you think about people in college football, if you're on Brandon Walker's top 32, like, and you made the bracket, that's pretty good.
Casey, you have a direct line into two of my life goals. One is to make the bracket one day. Okay. And I know that I'm a younger sports writer at The Athletic, and I'm trying to be like Andy one day, but that's one goal.
Yes.
And the other goal is to spend at least one night in the gambling cave. So
I do have access.
So, like, basically by the end of this podcast, my goal is to make sure that we're best friends.
Okay. I like that. So I feel like we can work something out. I will say that we won't probably do that bracket again until next March.
I'll wait.
Because obviously, but you have a year. The gambling cave thing might be a little bit easier just because we're in there all the time. So we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Ari, by the way, is doing 3-game money line parlays for college basketball tournament season. Casey just came from the gambling cave. Our alma maters, as we record this, just finished playing. And So I covered the infamous Northern Iowa, Texas A&M NCAA tournament game in OKC, where Northern Iowa, I want to say blew a 14-point lead in the final like 49 seconds. Basically, I'm on press row screaming, please just throw the ball to the other end of the court and out of bounds and stop giving it back to Texas A&M. But yep. So this happened in reverse, where Texas A&M blows a big lead against Florida. The game goes to overtime, but A&M wins on a last second three. So Casey, you're victorious. You've rubbed it. Did you get to rub it in Dan Katz's face?
Oh, I rubbed it in all of their faces. I was the only one in there, the only girl in there, the only Aggie in there, and I got to rub it in. And that's such a good feeling with these guys because, you know, they do it to me all the time. So I got to do it. And they always make fun of A&M too. So anytime that A&M not only wins something but also takes their money, I'm happy.
Let me guess. Every time a yellow leader popped up on the screen, there was a comment about all male cheerleaders, right?
Andy, it will never cease to amaze me that they cannot grasp what a yell leader is. I've been at Barstool for over 4 years, and I still get made fun of it. The Aggie rings, I still get made fun of. And I've just accepted it at this point. I'm like, you guys just don't understand it. I don't care. You know, I fight with Dave all the time about College Station. Like, we're not going to go there this year because gambling's not legal. But he's like, why would I ever want to go there? I'm like, you would actually have a good time. But it's a losing battle for me. I've just given up trying.
It's really funny because I feel like the last 2 years I've been public enemy number one in Texas A&Mville because I was they probably shouldn't make the playoff 2 years ago. And then everybody hated me. Like Johnny was tweeting at me.
That was funny.
It was like and this year I was like the front of the Texas A&M cheering parade of how awesome the recruiting class was. And I tell Andy this all the time, but my fiance went to A&M. So I have a lot of A&M people here. And like one of the people I met is a huge Aggie and like literally didn't want to hang out with us anymore because I thought that Texas A&M shouldn't make the so I'm learning. And now he likes me again because I was all in on if you think that they're cheating and recruiting, you're a loser bandwagon. So I'm learning a lot about Aggies and I'm going to College Station a little bit more than I've ever been before. And I, you know, it's different from most places. And I feel like it's one of those things where if you're not there and you don't have people in your life that understand it, then you can't understand it. And I'm trying my best to kind of become an Aggie because that's kind of like all of our friends from her side of the relationship are all Aggies.
Yeah. Ari, I will tell you that like when I was still living in Texas, like I didn't really realize how, and I say this with all due respect and all love in my heart, because I love A&M, but how weird we really are until I moved to the East Coast. And it's odd. I tried to explain it to people. And I was like, wait a minute, like because my dad went to A&M. I grew up in Aggie. I was, you know, going to Kyle Field in the womb. So like there was no option for me and I didn't really realize it. And so now I went back pretty recently for one of my best friend's weddings who was getting married in College Station. And I was like, oh, okay. I kind of get why people think we're weird. Like, cause I hadn't been back in so many years. And so it's like one of those, you know, this is a thing. It's a negative connotation, but it's also true. Like we're a cult. That's the facts. Like anybody that says we're not it's just a fact. Like, but
at least you're not a weird cult. You're like a cult of happy, passionate people. It's just Texas fans here always say that they're a cult. I'm like, well, they kind of are, but at least they're not promoting terrible things like most cults do. They love their football program and that's what we live off of here. So I like want to apologize. I mean, I'm just like who I am. I can't, if I believe something, I'm going to say it. And I believe something negative about Texas A&M 2 years ago. I believe something super positive about them now. I would buy stock in their program and where they're headed, but I just like didn't realize how personally offended some people get. Because like I covered Ohio State for 10 years and I know what crazy looks like. And I moved here to Texas and I've been here for 18 months now and I'm like, holy crap. Like I thought I knew what big time college football craziness looks like. And then I'm in Dallas now where I have this intersection between Texas Longhorn fans, A&M fans, and Oklahoma fans, and watching these people battle every day. It's kind of been a really eye-opening experience for me.
I mean, yeah, I went to A&M. I'm like one of the biggest, you know, voices like nationally. And I wouldn't say like, I'm, you know, because obviously we're not like, we're Barstool, we're different, whatever. But like, I love A&M.
And you if make I the say Casey Smith negative, bracket,
eyeballs are eyeballs.
Yeah, right. They go after me. Like whenever A&M or whenever Texas and Oklahoma, and I think Annie and I, you and I were texting about it when Texas and Oklahoma made a decision to go to the SEC and they made that announcement. Like I was like, all right, bring it on. Like, I feel like A&M's in a better spot than Texas right now. Yeah. Aggie fans were pissed at me. They were slandering me. And I was like, so if you'll slander your own, you'll slander anybody.
Well, what happened to me was that Billy Lucci quote tweeted me one night.
Oh yeah.
That was the avalanche. I've been on the end of a few avalanches. Tennessee Vol Nation avalanches are pretty tough.
Vol Twitter's bad, man.
The Texas Vol Twitter was really bad because I wrote that column about Greg Schiano 4 years ago. That was a much more touchy, serious subject. So, like, I don't know if we should make a lot of jokes about that. But the other thing, like the Billy Lucci night of the national title game 2 years ago avalanche was like, I was in Cabo with my fiance. And we were having the best weekend of my life, and my phone kept buzzing, and I was like freaking out, and I'm arguing with Billy Lucci about God knows what. And she goes, "Can we just like enjoy the last night of our vacation, please?" And I was just 9,000 notifications.
You got to stay on Billy's good side, because when Billy disagrees with me, he'll quote tweet me, but then he'll say, "Don't kill Andy for this, but he's wrong." And then it isn't as bad. But it's funny that you talk about the cultural fit, the cult thing. Because I remember going to A&M games in 2011 when it was clear they were headed to the SEC. And the A&M Oklahoma State game I went to, I think I covered one or two other games that year. And I remember all the other Big 12 fan base people, when I would interact with them, they'd be like, man, those people are crazy. I'm like, I don't think y'all understand. They're going to fit right in. Like, mm-hmm. I went to an SEC school. My mom went to Alabama. I have friends from LSU, Auburn, Tennessee. Like, they're perfect for the SEC. And I'll say this now, and Casey, you can – I'm curious your thoughts on this, having grown up around these people. I don't think Texas and Oklahoma are as good of a cultural fit as they think they're going to be. Like, they're very wine and cheese fan bases compared to like A&M, LSU, Auburn, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida.
I would agree with that. And that's not, you know, every time I say this, it's always like, oh, it's just because you don't like Texas. Like, I mean, like you said, like I say what I think. And if it's anti-A&M, it's anti-A&M. I don't think Texas understands not only like cultural wise how different it is, because I've gone to games in Austin and it is a wine and cheese crowd, and I mean the stadium's full but it's very quiet, and then they think that they're going to come in and like run the SEC, or at least, you know, beat A&M because they did, you know, 10 years ago. I would say that out of the two, I think Oklahoma would fit much better. It's kind of like, you know, with A&M and Missouri, I think A&M fit much better than Missouri did. I think Oklahoma is a much better fit, but still, I mean, when you look at, you know, most of the fan bases outside of, you know, Vanderbilt, Missouri, it's like, you know, that you have to be crazy. I think, and what we've seen from Oklahoma fans, you know, as of late, they're pretty crazy.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Right now, it's time to go house shopping.
Let me just warm up. Let me just warm up here.
I'm going to get loose.
I knew what I was doing, Andy. I knew that was
perfect.
Lincoln Riley has settled on a home on the West Coast, and we're going to take a look at it now. If you're watching the YouTube version of this, you are looking at photos of Lincoln Riley's new spread. This sucker was $17 million. It is a 13,000 square foot house on 3 acres. It has 15 bathrooms. It has a view of the ocean. It is, let's see, 10 bedrooms, yeah. I believe.
That picture is the wrong view.
Oh, there's many other views. Just wait.
Here we go.
I'm going through all these views now. You know, when I'm on Zillow, I don't know about you guys, all I care about is the kitchen. So, of course, I've got a picture of the kitchen in here, too. Let's just get to
it's
that.
It's House Hunters Edition.
There it is. There's that kitchen.
Double island.
Stunning.
That is amazing. So, yeah. So, he is settled on this, I guess, if you got to live somewhere.
Can you go back?
What do we need to look at? What are we looking at?
What are we doing here?
This is the drawing room.
What is that? That's the art studio.
Mm-hmm. I mean, don't you have an art studio overlooking the ocean, Ari?
Yeah. God. I bought a few shares of Amazon today, and I felt pretty good about that. I mean,
when Andy sent me the link, the Zillow link, and I saw 15 bathrooms, I was just like, listen, like, I understand, you know, I mean, you're in LA and like these celebrities, they can do whatever they want. I mean, Lincoln Riley's college football coach, I mean, he's not a Kardashian. What the hell do you need 15 bathrooms for?
It's like, so I mean, funny.
Like, you'll never even go in. Like, I feel like there's going to be like 7 that no one ever goes in. Like, why is the ratio of bedroom to bathroom more bathrooms?
You might not go into them. I live in a house that is 3,600 square feet, which is a pretty big house. And it has 3 showers and 5 bathrooms. The first week I lived here, I showered in every shower. And I go to the bathroom in all the bathrooms because it's just like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, you know? You're paying for it.
It's just like, why? And then also it's easier to keep clean.
Steady mobbing, yes. Long hallways. I got 10 bathrooms. I could poop all day, except he's got, Lincoln Riley's got 15 bathrooms.
It's better for sanitary reasons too. If you use 5 bathrooms, 1/5 as much, then your bathrooms are always clean. I would shower in every one of those showers, especially because I know for sure that one of those showers has an ocean view, and there's nothing more elite on the face of the earth than taking an outdoor shower, looking at the ocean while drinking a beer. What did people think he was going to buy there? If you are one of the people who gave me shit on Twitter when I said I would rather live in LA than Norman, Oklahoma, look at these pictures and then go look in the mirror and just like send me an email. Say, hey, bud, I'm sorry. Here's the thing that I do. And I feel like I am the only, like sometimes like 5 times a day, I like look around and I feel like, am I the only one seeing this shit? Like that's how I feel. Like if you are seeing this, for the love of God, there is no, it's not even an argument. Just accept it. And if you want to live in Norman because you're from there and your family's from there and you have an emotional tie there, I understand that. This is not a discussion
or
a debate.
Ari, you do not understand people's connection to their little slice of heaven, one. And two, people who will never, ever reach that level, that financial level, don't want anybody else to either.
Right.
Oh, I don't like when people use, and I tweeted this because everyone's like, can you imagine the property tax on that? And it's like, the dude paid $17 million for his house.
If you can afford the house, you've already considered the property tax.
And it blows my mind because people take middle class, average, regular incomes and apply that thought process. People who use personal financial realization for middle class families and apply them to how people with endless amounts of money think, it makes my head explode. So,
it's insane. And it's just like on paper, LA is a nicer place to live than Norman, Oklahoma. And I mean, as somebody who went, I grew up in Dallas. So, I mean, I grew up in a big city, but you know, College Station versus New York City, like for me, I would much rather live in New York City. But I will tell you, Ari, when I go back to College Station, I still have friends that are like, you know, why in the world would you live in New York City? You know how much money you could save if you lived in College Station? Like, I don't want to live in College Station. I want to live in New York City. So
there is a correlation between how much money it costs to live places and the desirability of the location.
Right. Correct. And so like, but the thing with Oklahoma fans right now is that I can't figure out what they think that they're doing being such a bitter ex with Lincoln Riley, because they just look embarrassing. And we've dealt with it on Unnecessary Roughness, because Oklahoma fans came after us too. It's like, just let it go, dude. Like you still have a good situation going on in Norman. Like, yes. And like when Lincoln Riley came out and trolled them and said, hey, I didn't take Caleb Williams with me. I took him from the transfer portal. I love shit like that. Like I love when they start trolling, because it just makes Oklahoma fans so mad. And it's like, you got to let it go. Like, this is what happens. Lincoln Riley's not only moving to a much better place in the country, he has an opportunity to resurrect a program that, like, makes college football national again versus just, you know, the South and the, you know, up North. Like, if he resurrects USC, he's a god forever.
I'll say the other thing. If he goes to USC and their team sucks and they don't make the playoff once in the next 5 years and I owe Andy a grand, that's his house.
Yes.
That's like, still his house.
He won. Like, that's the thing. Like, and also, somebody tweeted at Andy and I and said, what a waste of money. And it's like, what are you investing in? Like, tell me, this house is going to be worth $35 million in 10 years.
That's the thing. It ain't going to go down. My other favorite was, what do you do with a 600-bottle wine cellar? I'm like, you put 600 bottles of wine in it. You just bought a $17 million house.
And you get somebody who works there to bring the wine to the pool while you look at the Pacific Ocean. What are we doing?
What? No, like with the steam room, the sauna. Like, are you kidding me? Like, even if he gets fired, I would just go into the steam room. Like, all right, fine. Like, whatever. I'll just sit in the steam room and sweat this one out. Like,
I would actually want to get fired.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then the buyout with it. No, it's absolutely
also
insane.
Didn't USC give him a housing stipend that he probably spent all his money on in this house anyway, which goes directly into his pocket as an asset?
Right.
Like, he was making a ton of money at Oklahoma, and financially he was going to be set for life regardless. But this is the type of property that every single person, whether you're a hedge fund manager or a college football coach or a dumb sports writer who works at The Athletic, would aspire to acquire one day.
No
and
question.
He's able to do that with one simple career change. And I get it. And I understand if you're an Oklahoma fan and you're bitter about what happened, or you're bitter that Caleb Williams is going to USC, or you hate that he turned his back on your program. I get it. I had a girl that I really liked in college cheat on me. It happens. You know, like, it's awful when it happens and you feel bad for it, but I don't like sit here and pretend like that, like, their future is like dumb. Like, it's accept it.
Especially if you get a new girlfriend right afterwards and you're still crying about your ex. Like, it's not like Oklahoma's without a coach.
And
like,
I met the girl of my dreams after.
Yeah, now, like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, imagine.
Brent Venables may be the girl of your dreams.
Brent Venables is Brent.
Yeah. Exactly. Venables. It's like, it's Brent not Venables. Like you're – It's not, and he's one of the best coordinators in the country and has been for a long time. So it's like, not like you got some like no name guy that you, and even if you did, you still should just let it go. But the thing, you know, I mean, first of all, you're totally right. Like, everyone wants a house like that. Like, I mean, even just the oceanfront property, but it's like, if he gets fired in Norman versus if he gets fired in LA, it's a no brainer. If he succeeds at Oklahoma, great. If he succeeds at USC and resurrects that program, even better. It's like, who can blame him? And I
also,
people are like, I don't need all
Cassie,
that.
I'm curious. I want to ask you this because of where you live now, because this is just more of a personal preference thing. If we're talking about dream houses, you know, places we want to live. So, you know, 5,000 square foot penthouse, Central Park West, or Lincoln Riley's pad. I think they're probably similar prices.
Yeah. So the thing is, it's like, I love the ocean. So I would want to go with the ocean type of thing, but I would rather see, that's the thing. It's like, I'd rather live in Manhattan than LA. I like Manhattan as a culture better, but I mean, a house like that, you can't turn down. Like, if I'm swimming in a pool and I can just stare at the ocean, and if I could have a steam room, like, I mean, a penthouse can have a lot of really cool things. It's not having a pool that's going up to the ocean. So
also, Andy, I think that you're short selling the amount of money that it costs to get I think that it would be twice as much to get a penthouse in Manhattan than it would to buy that house.
Oh, I haven't played the Zillow game in Manhattan.
The Zillow game in Manhattan is like $50 million for a 7,000 square foot pad.
I mean, it's insane. Yeah. Like, I mean, I own a house in College Station. Yes. And you know, I rent it out, but like, my mortgage is like 1/4 of what I pay to live in Manhattan. I mean, it's insane, but you know, that's what you do. And you know, the price or the cost of living is different, and that's fine. But for like Lincoln Riley's house is what everybody wants. I mean, that's, you know, unless you're super, super famous and you can have like, you know, a Leonardo DiCaprio type house, then fine. But Lincoln Riley's house, any single rational person would take that.
And it's the only time that I will accept I would rather live somewhere else is if you have that house with another body of water you're looking at. So like, if you'd rather live in Greece or Miami or another place that has a similar setup, then okay, fine. You like Miami better than LA. But like, I live in Dallas. I lived in Columbus, Ohio for 10 years. I grew up in Scottsdale. I've lived in multiple places. To sit here and pretend like that isn't the epitome of existence is just lunacy.
So, my dream house is not there. My dream house, though, is in Grayton Beach, Florida. And it's probably, you know, less than half that size. It's probably a third that size. But it's on a lake, and you can see the ocean or see the Gulf of Mexico, and you can walk to the Gulf of Mexico in about 45 seconds. So you have lakefront and the Gulf of Mexico right there, but it's $5.6 million. It's not like my dream is cheap.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, any normal, rational human, like I'm talking about everyday regular person, not celebrities, would take that house in a second. Even the one that you just said, like the fact that this, it really does go back to like these Oklahoma fans are just looking for anything to complain about. Anything to try to pick his argument apart. And it's like, you know what? Like if Jimbo Fisher was, you know, if he decided that he wanted to move and go to LA, like, you know what? All right. I can't. And plus he's allowed to do that. That's what's weird about the Oklahoma
plus
thing.
It's the job is easier.
Right. Like I don't understand, you know, I guess there was the argument that maybe he was scared of going to the SEC, and it's like, well, all right. Like he still made the decision to go, which he's allowed to do. And he's allowed to take Caleb Williams out of the transfer portal. Like that's just how this job works.
Also,
and so Oklahoma just needs to let it go.
I would be scared to go to the SEC too. It's not, who cares? Like, it's just like, would you rather do your job, Casey, and make the same amount of money? Or would you rather do a similar job that's nine times harder for the same amount of money? It's like, you probably want to do the easier job.
Correct.
What's wrong with that?
A place where there's way less pressure because it, you know, with LA, we know that with sports, like we saw it with the Super Bowl. It's like, you know, they care. I mean, I understand there's a lot of USC fans that are going to listen to this and be like, oh, that's not true. Like, yes, there are passionate USC fans, but as a whole, you have way less pressure in the Pac-12 at USC than you do at Oklahoma in the Big 12 or the SEC. That's just a fact. And if you don't agree with that, you're not watching college football.
And you guys have been to vacations before at like resorts, I'm assuming. All right.
Yes.
You know, when you walk downstairs and it's like cold in other parts of the country and you're in the lobby, you're wearing your flip flops and you got your, you know, button down. That's always open because I'm a big tarp off guy when I'm on vacation. Yes. And then you have that third. Yeah. I had to put a shirt on for this show. and you have that third beer or that second drink and you finally hit that perfect like buzz. And you are in the pool and you look out onto the ocean, there's no more tranquil feeling on the face of the earth. And like, that is his life.
Yes. If he's coaching football or not.
We like, save up Marriott points so we can use these to go to
that's his family's life. His life is whatever the view from the office is because he's,
or like, whatever the $9 million condo he has closer to the office.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. We all look at it like, oh, you know, we'd live there, but he doesn't get to live there as much, but his family's going to really love it. But I'm with you. No, the making fun of people who are in the cold, I do it all the time. I mean, I choose to live somewhere warm so that I don't have to be cold.
I don't want to have Dave Ubben on this podcast at some point because he will argue to the death that he would rather live in Columbus, Ohio than Scottsdale, Arizona.
So here's the thing.
It makes me angry.
Well, I might make you angry right here. Here's the thing. God. I might make you angry. Someone who grew up in Texas, unless I am by a body of water, unless my house is looking at a lake or I have a really big pool or I'm on the ocean, I would much rather live in a cold area than a hot area.
Interesting. But
if you live in Scottsdale, you'd have a pool.
Right. I mean, yes. So it's like, it depends on where you are. But like, so for me, like, I mean, and I live in Manhattan, so we're walking all the time. Like I don't even have a car up here. I haven't driven a car in years. So like, I would much rather bundle up when it's snowing to walk to work than when it's, you know, in the middle of the summer and it's 85 degrees, but you're in the middle of a concrete jungle and you're sweating your ass off. Like, I don't want to do that.
But that's
like,
the thing about the heat discussion, though, because in Texas and in Houston, especially, and I'm sure College Station, I would argue that the summers here are far more miserable than they are in Phoenix. They're so awful wet here. And you're wet all the time. And it's like, here's the thing, too. So when I first met my fiance, I lived in Ohio. She lived in Dallas, and I drove all the time because I like road trips from Columbus to Dallas. I took several trips like through St. Louis, through Memphis, like all. There is no distinguishing difference from a topography standpoint in all of the cities in middle America. So if I dropped you into suburbia in Plano, Texas, and then I blindfolded you and dropped you into suburbia in Memphis or Nashville or Columbus or Cleveland, and I
just drop you in front of the random Jimmy John's as that's there. And then you've got a Walmart, you've got a Jimmy John's, you've got a Chipotle. You know, it's the same places at all. What, you wouldn't even know where you
what
are.
What is our chicken tender restaurant, though? That's the real question. Is there
But you know what I mean. You wouldn't even know where you are. So if you can't distinguish where you are from like a geographical view standpoint, then there's no distinguishing difference of where you live based on just that. So like at least with Scottsdale, there's mountains and desert and cactus and sunsets and pools.
You just explain the entire appeal of Dashboard Confessional and all of those emo bands, by the way, because they all sprung from that same suburbia, no matter where it was in the country.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are. It's the same. No. I was in suburbia in Oklahoma City, and I've been in suburbia in Buffalo, New York. It's the same thing. And it might be greener some places, but for the most part, it's pretty green. Like I when I moved to Dallas, you grew up here, Casey?
Yes.
I was surprised that when you drive through Highland Park, how much it just looks like suburban Chicago.
Yeah.
It's like there's no difference. It's flat. No. It's green. There are oak trees and there are big old houses that were built in the 40s that people live in. And it's the same exact thing that you will find in upper middle class neighborhoods in other states like Illinois. So like to me, it's like
Highland Park is upper Aria. Let's be.
Yeah, I know. I drive through it every single day. I know what it, and I was stunned by how much money's in Dallas when I moved here.
Oh,
and then
so
I
much.
And then I realized, you know, the oil thing, you know, I get it. You know, and I was like, I know if you want to live in them, but like I got into this argument with Britt. I was like, somebody bought a $17 million house in Highland Park. And I was like, if you're going to spend, because you know that in Highland Park, these houses are anywhere between $9 and $25 million. I said, you got to be some sort of psychopath to pay $25 million for a house in Dallas when you could buy it anywhere in the country. But the fact of the matter is, and she says this all the time, is that if you could pay $25 million for your house, you probably can pay $25 more for somewhere else. So, you know, I get that. But I don't know. And I understand the Lincoln Riley hate. Like, I do. If you're an Oklahoma fan, hate him. Hate him.
Like, hate him. But, like, shut up. Like, it's like hate him for sure. But I feel like at this point, Oklahoma fans will be rooting for USC to lose more than Oklahoma to win next year.
Yeah,
that's the way,
probably.
At least from a Twitter standpoint.
But Schadenfreude is a huge part of college football. So I understand that.
Living well is the best revenge in this case. It's just like any other time you get dumped. We've all been dumped. We all know how that feels. It sucks. And you just want the other person, like, I remember I got dumped in college by a girl. We dated for like 2 years.
I'm sorry, man.
I just wanted her to not be successful in any field of endeavor, which was not going to happen. Like, she was on her way to a PhD. She was gorgeous. Like, she was going to live a nice life without me. So I needed to accept that I needed to live my best life because that was the only way that I could win.
And by she the listens way, to this podcast now.
She definitely does not. I don't think she's a big football fan. But I will say, I know this. She married a doctor and everything, but I still won.
Yeah. No. Oh,
my
wife
is
the best feeling in the
way
world.
Way awesome. Way more awesome than she was.
I think that it's probably different for me because, like, I'm not married, and so it's like I've had exes who broke up with me, especially like, you know, college or like right after college. Try to hit me up once I started working at Barstool and try to be like, oh, hey, how's it going? And it's like, no, like you just want to talk to me now because you want to meet Dave Portnoy. Like, you broke my heart back then and I didn't forget it, dude. So it's like, it is the good feeling of like, I won. It took me a long time to get over it, but I won.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny too. Like, and I was having this discussion, but all the things that we used to think were so important when we were 18 and 19 and 20, like passing classes and doing good on tests.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend broke my heart and I don't have a date for prom or whatever you're it's just like now when you're like 30 and you're making a good living and you're having fun. And it's just like, none of that stuff matters. And
no,
you know, it's all part of experience too. Like, you learn to progress through things. And, you know, I was pretty heartbroken back in the day, you know, and you know, if you would have showed me a video of, hey, here's where you're going to be in 10 years, I'd be like, okay, where's the party tonight? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter at all. So, you know, Oklahoma fans can hate, and, you know, they should. I think they should. But also at the same time, you know, enjoy your new coach and be as bought into that as well.
Yeah.
I think
nobody on Twitter is rational.
A better year.
Yeah. But also, like, and
they're not better off long term, though.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Oklahoma fans, I think that they're looking ahead too much. Like, I think that they're, like, they're going to have a better year this year. But like, I think Oklahoma fans just are like seeing, they're just seeing red right now. That's all they can see. And like, they don't see, you know, that in a couple of years they're going to go to the SEC and that it's going to be better, but it's like, they're not looking ahead enough. But also like, I say Oklahoma fans shut up. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever gotten into it with like FSU Twitter. They're crazy people. Like, they're insane people. It's like, that's what makes college football so fun. It's like, when you do have these like crazy rabid fan bases, especially on social media, like when, you know, and Dion works with us at Barstool Sports, Dion Sanders, like when he took that recruit from Florida State and Florida State fans were like burning his jersey and had all the Twitter spaces. It's like, it's insane behavior. It is insane behavior, but it makes sense because college football is that crazy.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Going back to the A&M thing, people call them crazy. And it's like, that's the best thing that a fan base can be called, I think. Like, it's a compliment. If you're a fan, I went to Arizona and I used to go to some of the games on Saturday and the stadium would be loud and stuff. And it's just like, that was my first experience when college football. And I used to think like, this place rocks. And like, now I look back at it and I go, this is the worst environment in the history of college football. And like, this is the thing that was supposed to indoctrinate me into learning how to cover the sport. And it's just like, I would much rather be a part of the A&M alumni pool when it comes to being a college football fan than U of A or any of the other 80 colleges.
Right. We went to, for the Barstool College Football Show, you know, now because we're a gambling company, we only go to states where the Barstool Sportsbook app is live. So Tennessee, right. We are live. So we got to do a live show at Tennessee this year, and we got to, you know, stand on the sidelines and, you know, do the whole thing, and watching Dave's face, who had never, you know, stood on the sidelines of an SEC game. And like, and I mean, granted, he went to Michigan, so obviously Michigan's insane too, but just like, but the pageantry of it, like,
it's not, no,
yeah, he literally was just, you know, in awe. And Brandon Walker and I had been to, you know, multiple games in Knoxville, so it wasn't like it was, but it's still, it's just like, when you really look at the difference, I mean, it's just not comparable. It's just really not comparable. Although I do love going to Big Ten games. I will say that. I love Madison, Wisconsin. Like, I think Camp Randall and like the jump around, and like, we did a live show there a couple years ago. It's definitely been my favorite. But like, there's just nothing like the SEC fandom, and people that aren't SEC fans can't really grasp that until they go to an SEC stadium.
But here's, and I'm going to go with Bill, or I'm going with Andy to my first SEC experience in the fall, I think. But here's the difference, and then I'll let Andy say what he's going to say, because I covered the Big Ten for 10 years. In those stadiums, like, in my opinion, Penn State's whiteout is the best environment that I've ever been in.
It's incredible.
But the thing that's different about Big Ten fanhood and SEC fanhood is that SEC fanhood, from what I understand in this business now, is craziness all the time. In the Big Ten, like, they have good Saturdays and they are bought in, and, you know, Ohio State message boards 24/7.
They're responsible human beings the rest of the week.
But like, in the SEC, it's like, that is it. Like, that is your thing. It's your thing in July. It's your thing in September. It's your thing in January. And like, you are completely and utterly rabid about that thing at all times. And I don't know that people in Madison, Wisconsin are all that fired up about Badger football right now.
So
Ari hasn't been to an SEC game yet.
Okay.
In person. So
it's embarrassing.
We're gonna make that happen this week. We're gonna have Ari meets the SEC. And I know we got to get you out of here because you got to do your own show, but I want to run this by you.
Okay.
Do you think I should make Ari's first SEC football game A&M at Alabama and Tuscaloosa?
That's a pretty good one. I was going to say, I mean, granted, you don't want to wait for the Iron Bowl, but like, I always say this about, you know, I mean, obviously Ohio State, Michigan is, and I've been to those games in both Columbus and Ann Arbor. So I understand they hate each other, but my argument about Alabama Auburn being the best rivalry in the country is because they actually shoot each other over it. Like, they kill each other over that rivalry. So like, that game to me has the most passion. But A&M and Tuscaloosa, I'm worried
Auburn's going to be bad. That's the thing. That's by the true. Time that game comes around, it might not be good.
Alabama's going to Baton Rouge, right?
They are, but I don't know how LSU is going to be. But yes, an Alabama-LSU game in Baton Rouge, I feel like, is the pinnacle of sports existence.
I did go to the 2006 national title game about LSU and Ohio State in New Orleans, and that was the loudest stadium
I've
ever been in.
It's not the same thing.
I know it's not the same thing, but I thought that would be – it was very loud, and it was in Louisiana. So, you know, maybe that –
I feel like A&M-Alabama will be a really good game, hopefully – but like, right. I mean, going to Bryant Denny is always awesome, but like, I feel like his first one should be like Kyle Field or Baton Rouge or even like Tennessee. I don't know. I guess it just depends on
This is what I worry about though. Do we start that high? Because once you've gone that high.
I see what you mean.
Have you been to a whiteout at Penn State, Casey?
I have. And it's unbelievable. And like, I get, again, A&M fans get mad at me and I say this and SEC fans too, like, I love going to Big Ten games. I think that, you know, if I wasn't – and granted, I grew up when A&M was in the Big 12, so I know that I wasn't an SEC fan until my first year out of college. But, like, I've gone to, you know, Ohio State. I've gone to Michigan. I've gone to Penn State. And those games are awesome, too. It's just the fan bases, there are crazy people, but as a whole, they're not near as crazy as they are down south.
I just want to know if the best – so, and I covered Ohio State, so I've been to every Big Ten – stadium, and every single time I went on the road, I got to see the other stadium's best experience because they always get up for the Ohio State game. And the Penn State Ohio State games were always so insane. And I'm very curious if when Andy takes me to the SEC and we see these big time matchups, if it's just going to be undeniably better than that. Because if it's undeniably better than that, then I can't even imagine what that would be like.
Yeah, and it just, I mean, like Andy said, like, you know, A&M and Alabama would be probably pretty good because as we look at it now, and we are sitting in March, you know, so we're always all hopeful, every fan base is, like, A&M Alabama should be a hell of a game. So, yeah, like, it would be insane for that, too. Like, but you're right, Andy, you need to start him, like, and don't get me wrong, like, Bryant Denny is awesome.
Here's one. How about Florida, Tennessee, and Knoxville on September 24th? Tennessee might win that game. We don't know what Florida's going to be like.
And they hate each other.
Yeah. Tennessee could be 3-0 going into that game. If they got to beat Pitt at Pitt, that's not easy. But if Tennessee's 3-0 going into that game, that place is going to be unhinged.
Plus, I want to see Vol Navy.
The Vol Navy is fantastic.
Yes. I will say, obviously at any time of day, but like, it should be a night game. I feel like you've got to give him a night game for his first experience.
Yeah, the 3:30 CBS game thing, you know, that's the problem. A lot of times if it's the best game of the week, it's in the middle of the afternoon.
But you do get both with the 3:30. You get the day game and then halftime rolls around and it starts to get a little bit dark and then it's dark by the end of the game. So maybe it is the 3:30.
Andy, are we going to be going into the press box and being professional reporters when we go, or are we going to tailgate and get hammered?
Oh, I think we need to get hammered.
Okay. I'm not going to go write a column about like Tennessee's ascension in the SEC. You know what I mean? I want to go and I want to experience
the end of the night podcast where we break down all the action from the day is going to be ugly.
We're going to slur.
I'll warn you now, but.
What I've learned though, like, and I've done unnecessary roughness a few times, pretty sauced up. Those are usually the ones that people love the most because and granted, you know, here at Barstool, we have zero filter. We can say whatever we want, whenever we want. But the most fun ones have been when we've been on the road and we've been tailgating. And then, you know, we get back to the hotel at like 12:30 at night and we're just hammered and just let it fly. Like you won't want to do it every time because then it's not as fun, but every once in a while, you got to mix it up.
I do think that would be our best show if you and I were just completely.
Well, see, oh, yeah. This is how we're going to do this, Casey, is it's going to be a whole week. Like I'm going to have Ari fly into Gainesville. We'll be here for a night. I'll take him, you know, around to, you know, see Gainesville. And then we're going to a couple different SEC cities during the week. Like we'll hit Columbia and Athens on the way, or we'll hit, you know, we'll hit Starkville and Tuscaloosa on the way, but we will have a road trip through the SEC.
I love that.
That's and amazing. As we're talking about like exes that hurt us, like my job is to go to Andy Staples' house in Gainesville and get in a car and drive through the SEC eating meals with the person that knows where to go in every city and then cap it off with a drunken fiesta in Knoxville for a Florida game. And like, I'm going to be compensated for that.
Yeah, no, that's – and, I mean, Andy is by far the best guy to go for food. I mean, everybody knows that. But you're right. I mean, like, I said this the other day. Like, I get paid to scream in a gambling cave with 20 dudes about sports. Like, that is – like, you know, and people give us, you know, shit all the time. Like, oh, like, you're not working that hard. It's like, I'm sorry. That's what I get paid to do. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
You're living the dream.
We all made our choices back in college. Like, some people went the CPA route and some people went this route. But
so if you know, just remember back in the day,
it's not an easy thing to do. You know, I mean, obviously, like I'm in my early 30s, I struggled to get into it and I didn't get paid very much and I had to pay to work sometimes, but I made it to Barstool. So
you gotta live in the, I mean, my first job out of college in journalism, I made $16,000 before tax in a year.
No,
so like you have to have the skin to get through it. But when you get through it, it's great. So now I think about myself, crying when I was 21 years old because the girl broke my heart with a Domino's in front of me. Well, the Domino's was a good thing. But you know, you think about that now and it's just like, okay, I'll come out to Gainesville.
I'm a little concerned that we're going to be in Athens on a Tuesday night at a bar somewhere and you might be drunk dialing some of these people, Ari. Should I be worried?
Yeah.
And by the way, Athens, unbelievable. You've got
best
to take
college town in America.
And I have been to a lot of the towns. Like I've been to Baton Rouge and I've been to Tuscaloosa. So like I've been to these places. I just haven't
Athens,
been there.
I think Athens is the best college town in the country, followed up by, and again, like I am biased just because we had such a great experience, but I think Madison too. Like, I mean, I loved Madison. I thought
Madison's
it was great.
But
that was on, you know, that was on a game weekend. I don't know, you know, Athens every single day is awesome. I don't know what Madison, Wisconsin is like, you know, in February.
Yeah, that's probably not great. Athens bars on a random Tuesday night in the fall, you're doing all right. You're living right. So it's going to be fun. Actually, Casey, I'm glad we got to discuss this with you because I wanted to run it by somebody else. And now I realize we probably just need to run it by the people. We just need to put a poll up
We'll
figure out which game will be your first game.
I love that. It's always fun when you poll the people. I mean, other than when Andy lost to Chris Fowler, but
You know,
hey, I know that I haven't done enough in the world of national college football media yet because I've only been in this job for 18 months, but I hope, you know, you'll follow the career a little bit. Maybe, you know, put some input in there and I'll come out to the gambling
cave. You guys
are
best friends now.
Are we best friends?
Course.
Okay.
Of course. You know, you are much closer to getting in the gambling cave than you were when we started the podcast.
Oh, God. Oh, good. Okay, well, it doesn't have to be in a week, but, you know, let's just keep the rapport, and then we'll see what happens.
And we had a great rapport. That's all that matters. You know?
Also, just so you guys know, too, the three-team Moneyline parlay here is looking real solid. All Kansas has to do is win this game outright, and Daddy's going to a steak dinner tonight.
Love that.
There you go.
A good red wine with it. You're winning life right now.
It's 24-4, so we're good.
Casey, I know we said we'd keep you 20 minutes. We kept you the entire show. Sorry about that. And I know you got to record your show now.
I'm sorry. I just kept talking.
Oh, no.
No.
So, but we're gonna get your feedback again on this as we build Ari's intro to the SEC. Because that is going to be the best week of Ari's life. And remember, this will be in the same year that Ari became a dad and got married. we're still going to make it better than that. So,
oh yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I mean,
there's no question it's going to be better.
Football's obviously first before family. I mean, that's what the SEC is about. It's football, family, and then faith, I guess. I don't know. But no, I'd love to come on anytime you guys need me.
Thank you, Casey. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That's it for this week. Thanks so much for listening. We had a blast, and next week is going to be even better. Monday morning, you're going to get your idiot's guide to the NCAA tournament because, listen, we have the best college basketball coverage in the world at The Athletic, and I hope you're reading it. But I also know that most of you are mainly college football fans and that you've watched some college basketball, but not a ton, and you know probably as little as Ari and I do. So we are going to give you the guide to the bracket from our perspective, because our perspective is probably also your perspective. So we're talking brackets on Monday in a way that we probably shouldn't be. It's probably ill-informed. Ari's probably going to gamble on it. It's going to be fun, though. We'll talk to you then.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.